Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a message from the series, Prayer Principles. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
He said Elias, that means Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. He's a man that made mistakes. He's a man that didn't know everything. Human, just like me and you. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Did his prayers affect the earth? Changed the whole weather system. Changed the atmosphere. Changed the cold fronts and warm fronts and flows of air and the jet stream and the moisture from the south. Changed the whole deal. And the Bible says, what did that? His praying. Then he prayed again. Everybody say, prayed again. He prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. How many believe there's a spiritual implication and application here? Praying and rain and fruit of the earth. What does that sound like? I mean, what is the real harvest? What is the real rain? How many know rain refers to the Holy Spirit? I mean, the Holy Spirit can fall in power like rain. Amen. And the rain waters the seed of the Word of God. And the seed springs up and brings forth. And there's a harvest in souls. Amen. There's a harvest in human beings. Amen. And that's what the Lord is waiting for and has great patience waiting for. The precious fruit of the earth. People. Yeah. Hallelujah. People are not going to come in by the hordes and by the thousands and millions because of our ingenious advertising campaigns. Or because of our amazing edifices and structures and our programs. No, people are going to be drawn by manifestations of the power of God. When they see the reality of God manifested in the earth, they won't be able to stay away. They see the goodness of God manifested in healings and miracles and deliverances. Hallelujah. People will flock to go, is this really real? Yeah. Is God really showing up? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And you'll see a harvest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You harvest. I'm happy already. Yeah. Glory. Go to Isaiah, please. Isaiah 56. Jesus quoted this passage from Isaiah. You'll see it in the gospel accounts. But I want you to read it from where it was first given. In Isaiah 56 and verse 7. I tell you, let's back up to verse 6. He said, also the sons of the stranger that joined themselves to the Lord to serve Him and to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants, everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting and takes hold of My covenant, even them will I bring to My holy mountain. How many believe God's going to bring in folk that were strangers? Yes. They were strangers to church. They were strangers to God and the covenant, but He's bringing them in. Say it out loud. He's bringing them in.
Bringing them in.
From the north.
From the south.
From the east.
From the west.
He's bringing them in here.
Amen.
And how many believe they will come to know the Lord?
Yes.
And they'll love the Lord.
Yes.
And they'll serve Him.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And even them, He said, I'll bring to My holy mountain and make them joyful in My house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted upon My altar. For My house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. See, Jesus quoted that, didn't he? He quoted Isaiah. You remember he went into the temple and they had made it just a place of merchandise. And their main thing was not serving God. It was buying and selling. And the whole place had an atmosphere of a market, of a store. And that aggravated the Lord. See, one of the strongest demonstrations of his. I mean, he grabbed those tables and he gave them a fling and he got a little whip. He drove out the livestock. He said, get these things out of here. He said, it's written, my Father's house will be called a house of prayer. You've turned it into a den of robbers. Yeah. How many believe every church ought to be a house of prayer?
Yes.
Every place of God where God has control.
Yes.
Your house ought to be a house of prayer.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Does that mean you're on your knees all the time?
No,
it doesn't. When Jesus said that, he didn't say, y'all are not kneeling with your hands clasped. Y'all are not kneeling. It wasn't about kneeling, and it wasn't about chanting. What was it about? The atmosphere. Is that right? The environment was like the environment of a street market. Right? A house of prayer has the environment of the awareness of God. The awareness of the presence of God. I'm going to give you what I believe is one of the most basic, simple definitions of prayer. And we're going to keep referring to this over and over because we're going to ask and answer the question, what is prayer? We're going to answer it from the Bible. What is prayer? There are many things that you could say about what is prayer. But I'm going to say this just in one summary concise statement. Prayer is communion with God. Somebody says prayer is talking to God. Well, it's more than that. Too many people just talk to God and don't pray. Did you hear me? No. Prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is communion with God. I'd almost rather say talking with God than just talking to God. Because talking with, let's say you and I went out for a meal and I'm talking with you and you're talking with me. You're not just talking to me, talking with me. What does that imply? Both of us are doing some talking. Both of us are doing some listening, right? There's communion. There's fellowship. There's a sharing of ideas and thoughts and feelings, and you're aware of my presence. I'm aware of your presence, right? I see your smile. I hear the tone in your voice. You see the look in my eye. You hear the tone in my voice. Communion, right? You didn't come there to lecture me, right? No, we certainly don't lecture God. We talk to Him. We ask Him things. We ought to do a lot of listening. Right? The one who knows the most should do the most talking.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
Who would that be?
God.
The one who knows the least should do the most listening. And in so-called prayer, there's too much chatter. Needs to be specific. And the key to greater prayer is a greater awareness of God, a greater awareness of who you're talking to and that He is listening. Amen. I mean, it'd be like you coming to talk to me. And what if you came in and in the office or something and you came and fell across the desk and you said, Oh, Brother Keith. And I say, what? Sit down. What do you want? Talk. Is our God a person?
Yes.
Is He slow?
No.
Is he hard of hearing? Do we have to tell him something 95 times for him to begin to get what we're talking about? Or did he not know everything we were going to say before we ever came? Do you see what I'm talking about? There's a lot of religious ritual, a lot of religious ritual that is called prayer, and it is not real prayer. It's people being religious. It's people salving their conscience that I am praying. And let me just, I tell you what, go to Luke, and we'll just do it like this. Go to the book of Luke, please. What is prayer? Prayer is communion with God. You know, from the very beginning, this is what prayer has always been about. It might not have been called prayer, but when God made the earth, I said, well, I believe in evolution. I said, when God made the earth, you know, it takes more faith to believe in the Big Bang theory than it does to believe what we believe. You know why the missing links are missing in evolution? You know, it is a crime that these things have been taught as fact in our educational system. When they are unfounded, they are unproven. They are unbelieving people's theories. You look at the beauty of creation. You look at the beauty of trees, mountains, the animals. Who can make a Labrador retriever? Who can make a Persian cat? Who can make a parrot or an elephant? And you're telling me that there was a boom and all this was there when the dust cleared? That's like taking a bomb and setting it off in the junkyard. And when the dust clears, there's a new Mercedes sitting there. You can try that a million times, and you will never get a new Mercedes when the dust clears. Oh, it's preposterous. And we do not accept it. No.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching from the series Prayer Principles, you may call More Life Ministries at 941-702-7390. That's 941-702-7390. Just mention that you heard this message on the radio. You may also download this and other messages from our website at morelife.org, where you will find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Remember to join us in Branson, Missouri on Monday, October 5th, as we begin our week of increase. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.